We invite you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with us tonight to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "And what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Amen. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We praise thee, Lord, for the privilege of just bowing before thee once again, Bible here in our hands. And we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures of holy truth. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And we pray you'll write it in our hearts tonight. Speak, O Lord. Speak with thy voice. We need a word from God tonight. All men and women are dying in their sin. Young people, they need a word that will turn them to Christ. We ask thee, Lord, you'll take of this word, empty me of self and sin, and fill me with thy spirit, and give me help to deliver it, this word, to those who listen tonight. Oh, Lord, please come in a mighty way. Bring salvation. Visit, Lord, each home tonight that's listening. Bless God's people. And save the lost. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen and amen. The great fear of man today is uncertainty. There's so little that we can actually depend upon in this world today. The Christmas get-togethers that we all look forward to, even the Christmas activities of the carol singing and the choir and the carol service and all of those things that really were such a part of our lives, the annual experience, as it were, even those could not be held in the same way this year. The weekly privilege of meeting in the house of God, sitting beside believers and having that fellowship, has not been a reality for much of the past 12 months. Time does bring changes. But it seems that in the past year, these changes have been larger than ever before, seemingly that way. More widespread, more consequential than ever before. And more, we're being made to realize that we're not in control of very much at all. We cannot depend upon society for stability and for comfort. Societies go through seasons. Sometimes they can be very conservative. Other times they can be very liberal. Sometimes they can be united. Sometimes they can be divided. And therefore we can't depend upon society for any hope or comfort. We cannot depend upon finances. Finances are so fickle. We cannot depend upon even friends at this moment in time, because while we can make contact with friends using our phones and using computers and all of those things, we can't have the same togetherness with our friends. We can't have them all in the home. We can't have them together. And we realize that has caused many people great sorrow. We cannot depend upon the plans that we've made in our diaries. If I look back over my 2020 diary, so much of it has a mark through it. Things that I had planned, as I've done for years, that just always came to pass without any question, had to be scored through because it wasn't the plan of the Lord for those things to occur. We can't even depend upon our health. We can't depend upon our health. You can be walking around right now and something inside of you which is very serious and you know nothing about it. We can wake up one morning and the body weak. And all of a sudden, what we had is no longer ours. All things change. It would be very foolish for someone to say, I'm in control of everything that concerns me. Friend, we're not in control of very much at all. So where do we go in a day when there's great uncertainty and confusion? Where do we go in a day of fearful news broadcasts and even personal difficult news? We go to the only one who is unchanging. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the things that is most marvelous about our God. He changes not. He does no shadow of turning, the scripture says. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And every single believer in their heart at this moment should be saying, amen. Amen. He does not change. This world fluctuates and changes. But he does not. Dear Christian, he is the rock that cannot be moved. And our faith being anchored in him is secure. He is the rock in whom we can hide, the shelter in the time of storm, the place of refuge, the place of safety, the place when we can't go any further. When the storms of life are beating us, we can flee to Christ. He is the rock who will provide. And that's a wonderful truth in scripture. And the Lord says in Psalm 81:16, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Oh, know the blessings that flow from the rock Christ Jesus, that satisfy the thirsty soul, that satisfy the hungry soul. Oh, he alone truly saves and truly satisfies. You see, there's not a need, but our God will supply that need. Oh, there's not an experience, but he can be depended upon. He is the one who cares for and protects his people every single second of every single day. And tonight especially, I want to speak upon Christ, the rock of our salvation. And dear believer, I trust you'll rejoice in these truths tonight as you are reminded of who Christ is and who you are in him. And dear unsaved, I pray you'll listen to and receive the truth of Christ as presented in his word. We go back to Exodus chapter 17 because that's where Christ is seen in the picture of the rock as the children of Israel are on their journeys from Egypt to the promised land. The background to this is that in chapter 12 of Exodus, there was a Passover where the lamb was taken and slain, and the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the door of the houses of the people of God. And then they went into the houses, and at midnight, on that night that the Lord had warned about, the death angel passed through. And the word of God tells us that God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, or I will stand guard over you. That's what the word means in the original. And the Lord himself ensured that the people there under the blood were saved. And what a picture that is of salvation. Because the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And he gave his life's blood a ransom for many. And for those who turn from their sin and repentance and ask the Lord to be their Savior, they are marked by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're under the blood. And thank God, that means God himself will stand guard. Our Savior will stand guard as we even come before the throne of judgment. Praise God, there's nothing for us to fear because we are under the blood. Are you under the blood tonight? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Is that the reality in your life? Because nothing else will suffice. Nothing else will bring you to heaven. Nothing else will deal with your sin. Nothing else will turn away the anger of God but the blood that was shed by the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 13, whenever we find that they have come to the place of the Passover, the word of God teaches us in verse number 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Remember this day. And he's talking about this day whenever the Lord passed through the land of Egypt. And not only would that happen, but they were going to leave the land of Egypt. And they were going to journey toward the Red Sea, and then they were going to journey on to Canaan at the Lord's command. And he tells them to remember this day. And how important it is for us to remember the day when the Lord visited us as believers. The day whenever the blood was applied. The day whenever we were saved. We were no longer slaves to sin. But just like the slaves of Egypt were freed by the Lord, so are hands were loosed, and the chains of sin fell off. Thank God we were made free in Christ Jesus. And then whenever we come to chapter 14, it talks about the crossing of the children of Israel through the midst of the Red Sea. And they were at a place in their lives where it seemed hopeless. All they could see in front of them was the sea. All they could see at the side of them was mountains. They looked behind them. And the Egyptian army had decided they weren't going to let them go free anymore. And they were coming to capture them, to take them back. And what happened? Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And in doing so, he held out his rod. And the Lord parted the waters. There's a lovely old gospel song, Got Any Rivers You Think Are Uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things that none other can do. And this is exactly what happened. The Lord stepped in and opened the way before them. Maybe there's a believer tonight and you're standing. And you just do not see the way ahead. Maybe the circumstances in your life are so that you just do not know which way to turn or how you can go on. And you just see nothing but obstacles and barriers and hindrances in front of you. You call on the Lord who opened the Red Sea. You call on the Lord who delivered Moses and the children of Israel through dry land. You call on the Lord tonight and say, Lord, make a way for me. Praise God, the way will open. The way will open. What did the children of Israel have to do? They had to stand still until God opened the way. And then they walked through. And that's important that each day we bow before the Lord and say, Lord, open the way for me today. Open the way today. Help me get through. In chapter 15 and verse 1, we have a song of praise. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And here was a song of great thanksgiving and praise to God, because God had delivered them. He had defeated their enemies. He had removed the obstacle and he had given them freedom. Of course, there ought to have been a song in their heart. But that song only lasted until there was a difficulty. Only when the road was easy, only when the path was smooth was this song sung. And at the first sign of trouble, they murmured against God. We read of that in verses 23 and 24. They came to Marah, and the water was bitter, and they murmured against the Lord. And you know, God had done so much for them. In the past, God had done mighty things for them. And here was something that was a problem. Instead of going to the Lord and asking for his help, they complained. They complained against God. They complained against the leader of the children of Israel at that time, against Moses, against Aaron as well. And their complaint was against everybody. And rather than looking to the Lord and asking for his help and his deliverance. Someone once said, we do have to pass through Marah, and the word Marah means bitter. And we have to pass through bitter experiences in life, but it's important and essential that we do not let Marah get into us. Oh, we'll pass through bitter experiences, but don't let the bitterness get into your heart. So we see that they were being difficult. We see that they were praising when it was easy. They were complaining when it was hard. And yet the Lord, in his mercy, gave them everything that they needed. And we can read down these chapters that no matter what it was, the Lord provided for their need. And yet we find them here in chapter 17. And verse number 1, and there's a little line at the bottom of verse number 1, and it says, there was no water for the people to drink. There was no water for the people to drink. As I thought about that, I thought about people today and they're thirsty. They're longing for something that will satisfy them. Something that will give them a purpose in life. Something that's worth living for. Something that will explain their existence. Something that will give them hope. Something that will give them stability in an uncertain world. And they're trying everything. They're trying everything. They're trying alcohol. They're trying immorality. They're trying drugs. They're trying money. They're trying to engross themselves and their family and to just live for a family. And yet there's still something missing. There are people today, and they've risen to the heights of fame and fortune. They've set out for the things their hearts have desired, and they've achieved every single one of those things. But yet they're missing that which truly satisfies. There's something more that they need. And yet there's people today, and sometimes they can have very little of this world's goods and are so content with it all. Why? Because of Christ. There's no water for the people to drink. As I thought about that, it's not that there's no Christ to satisfy the people. It's not that there's no Christ to satisfy the people in this day and generation. But the message of this world is to do your own thing. It's anti-Christ. This world is anti-Christ. And therefore, if you listen to the message of this world, this anti-Christian message, it will tell you that the gospel's wrong. It's bad. Christ wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to make you miserable. And all of these things. And you ask people, and they've no hope, and they've no comfort. Even no reason for living sometimes. And you say, Christ, oh no, but that'll do me no good. Friend, Christ only satisfies. Only Christ can save a soul. Only Christ can give peace. Only Christ can give contentment. Only Christ can give true spiritual joy. Only Christ can take you to heaven. Only Christ can save your soul from hell. Therefore, today we need to go to the one who is the living water. Tell men and women, boys and girls, look, true satisfaction can be found in Christ. None but Christ can satisfy. Not all their name for me. There's life and love and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. And here we come to this place in Rephidim. There's no water for the people to drink. It's a real problem. They have a real need and a real necessity. And instead of calling upon the Lord and leaving their need before him, they complain. What does God do? God shows grace. God shows grace. What is grace? It's favour or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of the one who receives it, and in spite of what that person deserves. Grace is one of the key attributes of God. A grace really is what we do not deserve. And these people did not deserve God's favour or God's help at this time because they were going against God. But the grace of God brought a solution to their problem. The grace of God gave them a provision. And as I thought about that, is there not something about the children of Israel and every single person that's born into this world against God? They were against God at this moment. But we're born against God. We're born in our sin, which makes us enemies of God. We're born going our own way. We're born with that rebellion in our heart. And because of that, God ought to judge us and God ought to punish us and God ought to cast us into hell. We are deserving of that. But in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, he has given us opportunity to repent from our sin and to trust in him. What's life all about? Life is that we will get right with God, that we will be ready for eternity. That's what life is about. That's the number one reason. You see, these Israelites did not merit, earn, or deserve this water. But no person in this world can earn, merit, or deserve salvation. And yet such is the love of God that he delights to save souls. He delights to save those who are sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're sitting here tonight. You're watching this broadcast and you're not saved. You say, well, how does Christ care for me? Friend, he's given you an opportunity to hear the gospel one more time. He's given you the opportunity to hear a warning. And that warning is that if you continue in your sin, you will find yourself in hell for all eternity. That warning is that if you continue on the broad road, you will be in hell. Praise God, not only is he giving you a warning tonight, he's telling you there's a wonderful Savior who can save you from your sin. And that's the gospel. Christ died for the ungodly, according to the scripture. And therefore, if you're not saved tonight, you listen carefully, because your only hope is Christ. Not only do we see God's grace here, but we see God's provision. Because whenever we come down to verse number 6, the Lord instructs Moses to do something that is going to be a wonderful picture of the gospel. And he says in verse number 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses said so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And here is a very precious verse, because in this verse we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior slain for sinners. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified to the cross of Calvary, upon him, our sins were laid. The sins of his people became his. And as he suffered upon the cross of Calvary, he was suffering as a substitute for his people. In their place, he died instead of me. Hymn writer said, for me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bands are all untied, and now thou livest in me. And this is such an important truth, because while the Lord suffered greatly and while he suffered the physical agonies and torments of the crucifixion and the crowd that mocked him and the anguishing cries against him, the greater thing that he suffered was the Lord punishing him in the place of the sinner. He was smitten of God and afflicted. Smitten of God. He was separated from his Father. The writer said, O Christ, what burdens bow thy head? Our load was laid on thee, thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, Lord, thy blood was shed. Now there is no load for me, Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. There's not one stroke for me. Christ suffered every consequence of sin. And praise God, I go free. He gave his life for mine. And while that day at Rephidim, out of the rock there flowed water that would satisfy the thirst. From the rock Christ Jesus flowed the precious blood that would cleanse and satisfy the soul. You know, whenever we think about this rock and what came forth, we realize it was essential for life. Had the children of Israel gone on for days without water, they would have died one by one. And praise God, through Christ, there is provision made in the blood that was shed for us to have eternal life, spiritual life, new life, life everlasting, life from God. And that comes through our turning from sin and putting our faith in the trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God it is sufficient for our need. Every one of us by birth stands in sin's nature and in sin's darkness, bound for hell. But the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And maybe you're watching tonight. Maybe you have in your mind a particularly deep past or a dark past, or your life is just an absolute mess right now, and your thought is, Christ couldn't save me. You're wrong. If you will come by faith to him, he will save you. He'll save you right now. But you must come by repentance and faith. You must turn away from your sin. And if you genuinely come to Christ, he will save you. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you go to Christ, you'll not be rejected. If you go to Christ, you'll not be turned away. And there is a work that's been done through Christ, our rock. And praise God, that work is an eternal work. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As I thought about that, I also remembered that the rock there, the water that came out of the rock, was free. And therefore, people didn't have to come with payment. They simply came and they drank. The water was there, the provision was made. Our friend, salvation's free. Salvation is free. We do not have to pay money to be saved. We don't have to do things to be saved. We come receiving by faith the salvation that is freely offered in Christ Jesus. There are some people that teach that, well, to be truly saved, you must give money into the church. Or you must do this or you must do that. Friend, not one word of it's found in here. Now, when you are saved, we are to give on to the work of God so the gospel will go forth. And we are to live lives that bring glory to God. And there are things we are to do and things we are not to do. But our salvation, friend, is simply by asking the Lord Jesus Christ for it. By asking him to cleanse us. By asking him to save us. And therefore, what hinders you from coming? Sinner, tonight, before God, what hinders you from calling on the Lord to save you? Why will you sit in your sin for any longer? Why will you continue on your journey to hell? Why will you wait any longer when this moment, right now, you can be cleansed from your sin? All the guilt and the shame can be removed. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be ready for heaven. You can have peace with God. You can have joy that thrills your soul tonight. You can have the great comfort of knowing that you're in the hands of the Lord. What hinders you? What is it that you're holding on to tonight? What is it that seems so precious to you that you would open your hands that you might run and receive the gift of eternal life? Is it sin? Is it some aspect of sin? Friend, if that's what it is, I beg you in Jesus' name, leave it now and flee to Christ. Leave it now and flee to Christ. Because I'll tell you, the thing that you love in this world, and the thing that brings you pleasure, is only for a season. Because in eternity, it'll damn your soul. And there's only one source. In Rephidim that day, there was a rock. It was a rock that the Lord stood upon. It was a rock that the Lord gave. It was a rock from which the Lord made provision. Now, I'm sure it wasn't the only rock in Rephidim. But it was the only rock that the Lord had appointed, that these people might have that which would satisfy. Imagine people going to some other rocks, thinking, well, I'll go over here and see what happens. Friend, there was one place to go and they went. And I'll tell you this, there's only one way of salvation. If you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be in heaven, if you want to know peace with God, then you must come to Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. Oh, you've great needs today, the world will tell you. Your financial needs, your educational needs, your medical needs, your social needs. The greatest need you have tonight is the need to be saved. The need for your sins to be forgiven. And friend, only God can meet that need. Only Christ can truly save. It's not Christ plus the church. It's not Christ plus the saints. It's not Christ plus anything else. Christ plus is a false gospel. Jesus alone. If I Jesus, the hymn writer said, Jesus only. That's your only hope. Jesus can meet your need. He is the only source of salvation. My friend, the gospel goes out to every single person in this world. How do I know that? Because the word of God says, whosoever. Whosoever. And therefore I obey the command of Christ to go and preach the gospel to all creatures. Men, women, boys and girls. Telling them there's a Savior who can truly save. And truly satisfy. Christ the rock. How do I know for sure he is the rock that was spoken of? And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 4, it says, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. And we know that's speaking about the time of Moses from verse number 2. And therefore, this was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, there is one who's essential for life, spiritual life. One who can supply your every need. One to whom you can come without money, without anything, just as you are, and ask for cleansing. But there's only one. Jesus is the only way of eternal life. And therefore I say to everyone who is in their sin tonight, you need Christ. You need Christ. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Nothing in this world will last for eternity. Nothing in this world will save you from your lost eternity in hell. But if you come to Christ, truly come to Christ tonight. If you turn away from your sin and ask the Lord to save you, oh, then you will drink and you will be satisfied. The Lord will come and give you that living water. I'm so glad I'm saved tonight. In this world of great uncertainty, as we hear news that seems to grow harder and darker every day, as we come across difficulties in life's journey, I'm glad I have a solid rock, a saving rock, a sheltering rock, and a rock who will provide everything that I need. Will you come to Christ? Will you claim him as your own tonight? Simply where you are, will you not bow your head and call on the Lord to save you? If I can be of any help to you, please do get in contact via the little Facebook messenger there, and we certainly will be able to help you. But call upon the Lord, that you might be saved and ready to meet him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to read thy truth. We praise thee, Lord, that there is a rock in a weary land. Praise the Lord that there is one who can save and satisfy. And then we remember those words, why will you die? Oh, Lord, why will a sinner die in their sin? Well, there's one who can save. Why will they die in need when there's one who can provide? Why will they die in hopelessness and darkness when there is hope and there's light? They will call upon thee. Lord, I pray you'll give us a burden, those of us who are saved, to pray for those tonight who've listened. Pray, Lord, that they will come to Christ. Pray for those, Lord, maybe battle going on within their soul and you don't know, Lord, what to do. I pray, Lord, you'll bring them through for thyself. Save, I pray, for the glory and honour of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.